All right, let's light this candle.
Just keep cranking away.
So take that and think about that for a little bit.
You are listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Duke with the ball, moving left to right. Their lead is 3, 14 to 11, 11:46 to go. Williamson for 3, and it's good.
Why not? Why not?
And it's saved by Jones. Lob to Williamson, and he slams it home with 2 hands.
He had no business getting that ball back. They stole it from him, but his super athleticism and tenaciousness took it back.
Quickly down the floor. Here's Williamson, slams it home with 2 hands. My goodness. 19 for Zion. And it's Duke by 17, 32 to 15.
Cap and Company right here on ESPN 1000.
Do you slide on all your knives like this?
Welcome in to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I'm Chris Black along with Jonathan Hood, sitting in for David Kaplan today. You can follow us on Twitter at TweetJHood and at Chris Black. We are live from the First Midwest Bank Studios on State Street in downtown Chicago. We're here till noon and we're open for business for your phone calls at 312-332-3776. Lots to do on the show today, Jonathan. We just heard highlights of Zion Williamson. What an incredible performance from the Duke forward and really something we will dissect later, but we're also going to address the Bears news that we saw take place yesterday with Clinton Dix signing with the Chicago Bears.
Well, when it comes to Zion Williamson, I will tell you that he was a man among young men out there. I mean, he missed 4 or 5 games because of the injury. And it makes me think about players that played such a high level. Looks like a man. Looks like he should be in the NBA right now based on his height, based on his size, his ability on the floor. He reminds me of like when Shaq was at LSU or Larry Johnson when he played at UNLV. Sometimes you see players on the college level, you go, wow, you're way too overqualified to be on the college level. That's how Zion played yesterday.
Yeah, we saw that last night. 13 for 13, 29 points, 14 rebounds. Duke, North Carolina tonight.
Now, will it be third time the charm?
Yeah, right.
For UNC, or can Duke win with the big guy on the floor?
ACC tournament semifinal, Duke, North Carolina on ESPN at 8 o'clock tonight. So we'll talk about Zion Williamson later on throughout the show. We'll talk with Jesse Rogers at 9:45 about the Chicago Cubs. We'll talk with our friend Nick Friedel, ESPN Warriors reporter, at 10:30. And also we'll address the rest of the NBA with Nick at 10:30. And Cole Wright from the NFL Network. He'll join us at 11. Jonathan, I want to start with the Chicago Bears. They signed Pro Bowl safety Clinton Dix to a one-year deal yesterday. The team announced Dix is 26 years old. In the final 9 games last season with the Washington Redskins, he spent the final 9 games last year after being acquired from the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. So now we sit here throughout the week of free agency. Really, it started on Monday. It officially began on Wednesday because you had the legal tampering period and everything going on. And when you take a look at the Chicago Bears, and what I want to address with you as we start is, let's take a look at all these moves the Bears have made this week. And I want to ask you, are the Bears better than where they were when they ended last season? I think it's something that we can kind of discuss and go through, because there are some holes that Ryan Pace patched over the course of the week. And then also, we still have some questions, most notably, who's going to be our kicker next year?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I look at the Bears this way. Did they make significant changes? Not necessarily to the point where I think that they'll put them over the top. I think as is, they're over the top. Only because of look at the core of the team defensively. When you have Akeem Hicks and you have Leonard Floyd and Roquan Smith, Khalil Mack is on the top of that list, as well as Eddie Jackson, Kyle Fuller. There's so many quality players on defense that whatever they did, it would only enhance what they already have. The team was set last year. If it wasn't for Cody Parkey and some things that were missing on that field when the Bears lost in the playoff game last year. But I think that as is, Chris, when you take a look at this roster, you have quality up and down the roster. Now, the question marks that you have about the roster is Trubisky, again, is the arrow pointing up for him for next year? Some other playmakers around Trubisky. But remember what is the core of the team, and that's defense. So whatever that Pace was going to do, you got to realize that everything was about them pushing their chips in the middle of the table, going all in with Khalil Mack. That's the major move.
That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Black, sitting in for David Kaplan today. We do have breaking NFL news. We will continue talking Bears. Adam Schefter is reporting the NFL is suspending Browns running back Kareem Hunt for 8 games for violating its personal conduct policy, per league sources, as they tell ESPN. So that's the breaking news here on ESPN 1000. Kareem Hunt will get 8 games.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think people forgot about when the Browns made their moves is, oh yeah, you've got Kareem Hunt in your back pocket, if you'll pardon the expression. So you've got Kareem Hunt there. Whenever he does come back, you're like, okay, he'll have fresh legs. Mm-hmm. And he'll, again, we're just talking about him on the football field. We'll just talk about him from a football standpoint. The Browns, because of their move for Odell Beckham, the new king of Cleveland, right? And then you take a look at the rest of the things that they have done here in the offseason. Kareem Hunt comes in week 9, fresh legs, being part of, I think, is what is going to be a very exciting offense. So from a team that won 7 games, when Kareem Hunt's on the field, that's worth at least 2 more wins, I would think, for the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, and that's probably, when you look at that point of the season, halfway through the season, you're also going to be considering this team with everything they've added. That's going to be a playoff run, right? Yeah. So you're getting a really good running back, a part of the crew that also will have no mileage on his legs from the suspension last year into this year. So, right, fresh, as you mentioned, into a playoff run, that's going to be huge for the Cleveland Browns. 8 games. I think it's what people expected, right? 8 games for what took place with Kareem Hunt?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it would have been surprising if he got like 3 or 4. I thought 8 games was kind of something that was rumored as we headed into the offseason.
Well, again, we're talking about the National Football League, Chris, so yeah, it's so arbitrary. Well, it's arbitrary.
Right.
It's arbitrary. You look at what happened in that incident, and how do you look at it and say, you know what, that feels like 8 games. That feels like 10 games. No, it feels like that this guy should continue to go through his therapy, and they suspend him for 8 games. He's talked about, he's been very remorseful. He talked about the incident. He's talked to the NFL officials. So if it feels like 8 games for the NFL, that's exactly what it's going to be.
So that's the breaking news. Adam Schefter, the Browns running back Kareem Hunt will be suspended 8 games by the NFL for violating its personal conduct policy, per a league source. Chris Black and Jonathan Hood here with you talking Bears. And if you want to join the conversation, the phone number is 312-332-3776. We'll also get back to you on Twitter at TweetJHood and at Chris Black. Okay, so Chicago Bears, I agree with you. Trubisky needs to improve. He needs to continue developing. I also agree with you, the kicker, we need to figure that out before we get to the season. But, you know, it's down the list. Pagano and this defense and how they mesh, I think that's going to be the major storyline, 1A and 1B with Trubisky's development, as we take a look over the course of the summer and we take a look at what Ryan Pace added in free agency. Safety, Clinton Dix, cornerback Buster Skrin. You also have Cordero Patterson as a kick returner, Mike Davis as the running back, and then, you know, Chris Blewett and Redford Jones, who are going to have a battle in camp to become the kicker, apparently. Those are the two guys that the Bears are going to let fight it out.
Redford Jones, if that's really your name,
yes,
one of the kickers for this team. Yeah, we will find out. My biggest concern is how everything works together defensively for the Bears, because it's not to say that Chuck Pagano is going to ruin anything, but I think that's the biggest adjustment for the Bears defense as far as terminology. Is he going to break what already is fixed? Now, again, on the surface, you say, no, it's fine. The team will be able to run like a well-oiled machine like it always has. But I just want to make sure that Chuck Pagano is not trying to outdumb the room in an effort to be a head coach again. Listen, this defense doesn't need a lot of tinkering because it already was very aggressive and very productive last year. And so, you know, there's always this question about how the team can upgrade. Sure, you always need upgrades, but I never thought that the Bears were in a position to make a big splash because of the money that's doled out to Khalil Mack. Doesn't make the Bears cheap. It makes them a solid organization for even making a move for Khalil Mack. So just, Chris, just look at it from that standpoint. You need to be able to make some moves here and there to get better, but as is this year coming up, this team should be good enough to compete once again for the NFC crown.
Clinton Dix, better or worse than Adrian Amos? Is that an upgrade for the Chicago Bears?
I think it's it could be sideways. And I'm going to give Clinton Dix the credit now in March. I might change my opinion when we get to Bourbon A.
You're allowed to. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Once you get more information, you can change your opinion. That's okay.
See, there's levels to this, right?
Yeah, no,
The levels to this is NFL free agency, Bourbon A.
Right.
And then from there, preseason, and then before the season starts, then I'll change my opinion again.
Well,
I'll stand with it.
As Dan Zimmerman knows, or in Cap's world, in February, you could just say, you know, the Bears are going to win 12 games and go with that, too.
Well, I'll say that it's a good move, and here's why. his back is against the wall. He's got something to prove here. You know how it is in sports, right? When you are in your contract year, you want to be able to prove, like, yeah, you know what? I can really be able to flourish. I'm worth this amount of money. And so with this Bears defense, anything that he lacks will be masked by this very strong defense anyway. So in a contract year, I expect him to ball out.
Better coverage safety, maybe not as good in the box, which we saw Adrian Amos, fantastic, especially against the run, but also sometimes giving up some coverage issues. So maybe that's an upgrade, but as you said, could be sideways.
Mm-hmm.
Buster Screen, is that an upgrade to Bryce Callahan?
No, that's a downgrade.
Okay, so that's a downgrade.
Yes, I would say it's a downgrade because in the end, it's not just my opinion. Talking to people that's around the organization that cover the team, the problem with Screen is that there's a lot of penalties, and hopefully he can be more disciplined, again, with this defense that can mask some of that. But, no, I think on the surface that could be a downgrade. It's not against a contract situation like it is with Clinton Dix. I think that it might be a step backwards, and maybe he gets better with the good defense around him.
It's obvious to me that Cordarrelle Patterson is going to upgrade the kick return game because they're one of the worst in the NFL with kick returns. So
he's looking at you, Tariq Cohen.
Yeah, well, I mean, he wasn't necessarily used as a kickoff return man. Punt returning, he's fantastic. He's a Pro Bowler. I agree with that. Cordarrelle Patterson, upgrade. So I'll give that an upgrade. Mike Davis, upgrade, or is it just about the same as your second running back?
Or do we even know
how he fits into this offense?
I don't even really know. I know that's not good on sports radio because I'm supposed to have opinion. Like, I don't know, actually.
Is he your number one? Is he going to be a number two? Are you keeping Jordan Howard? Are you drafting a running back still? What are you doing?
Is this the Cunningham replacement?
Right.
Because they're not going to use a fullback here. So is he the third running back after Howard and Cohen? Because we haven't heard anything about Howard going someplace else. And by the way, if you traded Jordan Howard today here on March 15th, you can't get anything better than a fourth round pick. The only reason why I said it is because Jordan Howard is a between the tackles runner, not dynamic, solid, but not dynamic. Doesn't make him bad. But I'm just saying that in an offense that's supposed to be vertical, where you're supposed to get the ball down the field, you're not running it between the tackles as much. We saw the adjustment that made from September to October to November and December. Remember in the Bears game against the Giants, you saw Howard really come out and run the football well between the tackles based on the weather, with them on the road. So Howard, I don't think, will ever be that guy you say, boy, what a top five back he is. But he's going to be solid, and solid's fine. But here's the thing we do know. Tariq Cohen cannot be a down in, down out back because he's a gadget guy. And that's good, too, because he's got a change of pace, a little bit of different speed to his arsenal.
Okay, Chris Blewett, Redford Jones. Upgrade or just about the same with Cody Parkey? And I know, listen, we're in Chicago. Chris Black, Jonathan Hood, singing for David Kaplan. I get it. I've listened to a lot of sports radio. I've listened to people talk. I've seen tweets. Everyone hates Cody Parkey. I get that. Do we have an upgrade here? We have an unknown, right?
I have no idea. That's an unknown. I think
it's not necessarily an upgrade, right?
I think Redford Jones is something I saw late night on Cartoon Network. Was that an Adult Swim? Did I see the Redford Jones cartoon?
It was on after Rick and Morty.
I think Redford Jones
is a cowboy that just goes into space and tries to solve crimes.
Hello,
that's what it is.
I'm Redford Jones.
So we don't know with the kicker position. So if we take a look at what Ryan Pace has done, there are a couple of questionable items when you compare it to last year's team.
Yeah.
I know that we all assume that the kicker position will be upgraded. We hope it will. You never know. They're kickers. How would we know it's not guaranteed? You didn't go out and sign Gostkowski. That would be a guarantee where you know that it is. Yes, that's an upgrade. I don't know. Do you know anything about Blewett or Redford Jones?
No. Newsman, put this on the poll.
Newsman.
At ESPN 1000, Redford Jones, cartoon on Adult Swim or kicker? Put that out there for options. Let's find out.
Let's see how that comes back. Chris Black, Jonathan Hood, singing in for David Kaplan today here on ESPN 1000. So, Jonathan, if we take a look at what Ryan Pace has done, and we're comparing it to what the team was when the season ended against the Eagles, how do they stack up against the other teams in the NFC? Because a lot of other teams in the NFC made a lot of moves. Now, I know the Rams, the team that went to the Super Bowl, they re-signed Dante Fowler. Ndamukong Suh is likely gone. Mm-hmm. He hasn't signed somewhere, but he's likely gone. The Saints, they signed Latavius Murray. and they re-signed Teddy Bridgewater. So a good backup. So the reason to point that out is because if Drew Brees goes down, it doesn't mean that their season's over. Teddy Bridgewater is a capable quarterback. He's not good, capable.
He also will be used as a receiver, as the Saints were doing some razzle-dazzle.
Sure.
You did see that last year, right? Where Drew Brees is on the sidelines or
some kind of
weird, wacky plays that Sean Payton was utilizing last year.
The Cowboys didn't really do too much in free agency, which is abnormal for the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
Usually they go out and show it and throw it in free agency, and it doesn't work out for them.
Well, they looked at their ball club and said, as is, I think we're pretty good. We can compete again.
They added Tavon Austin. The Eagles went out and traded for DeSean Jackson. They signed Malik Jackson. So those are two really good moves, I think, for the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. The Seahawks, they signed K.J. Wright.
Yep.
He re-signs. The 49ers, Kawan Alexander, Tevin Coleman. And I think many people are like, hold up. You just mentioned the 49ers and the group of teams that compete. Remember, Jimmy Garoppolo only played 3 games last season.
Right.
That's a different team if they have their starting quarterback for a full year. The Vikings, Anthony Barr re-signs. The Packers, they loaded up on defense. Za'Darius Smith, outside linebacker, Adrian Amos, Preston Smith. These players are good, adding to the depth on the Packers' defensive line. And also, you can mention the Panthers and the Falcons. All of those teams are good. Where do you rank the Bears amongst the group?
I think the Bears are right there in the top 3, top 4, based on those teams that you just named for me. And again, we're talking about a Bears team that didn't have to have significant upgrades to try to get better. And you're in a good spot, by the way, because how many years have we done this and talk about the Bears and talk about, boy, they need wide receiver help. They need help on the defensive line. They need help in the secondary. They need help on, at least with this team, now you're looking for depth because you know who for sure is going to be there for you in a big spot. Okay, no more Amos. Okay, fine. But there's still Kyle Fuller. There's still Eddie Jackson. There's others that you could plug in. So when it's an odd spot for us to be in as Bears fans, but you can take solace in the fact that when you look at this depth chart, and it's in right in front of me here, it looks good because for the most part, it's already set for 2019. Now you're looking for backups and quality on your depth, which tells you a lot about where the Bears were last year.
And remember, you built through the draft. Spending a lot in free agency is usually fool's gold, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like the fact that Pace didn't have to go out is a great thing. The fact that he isn't going out and overspending for like Le'Veon Bell, I think is a great thing, or a kicker. Like I mentioned that we don't know what the kicker position will be, but I think that's the right approach.
Get it right.
Get it right, yeah. But also don't spend your cap space on a kicker. Right. Let's be real. This is football. This isn't kickers.
Yes, if he ain't Ray Guy or Ali Haji Sheik, it doesn't matter because if you were talking about two all-time greats there, you just want someone that's going to, in a big spot, get it through the uprights. That's all that counts.
That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Black. We'll take your calls on this. Where do you rank the Bears in the NFC? Do you like what they did in free agency? Are they better now than they were last season? The phone number is 312-332-3776. Plus, Zion Williamson dominated last night. We'll discuss it next. It's Black and Hood singing for David Kaplan right here on ESPN 1000.
One batter, one pitch, one out at a time. You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Chris Black and Jonathan Hood sing in for David Kaplan today here on Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. If you want to join the conversation, the phone number is 312-332-3776. Last night, Duke beats Syracuse in the quarterfinal of the ACC tournament, 84-72. Zion Williamson, 13-for-13 from the field in 36 minutes, 14 rebounds, 29 points. And from the moment the game started, Jonathan, he was fantastic.
He was awesome yesterday. Zion Williamson was a man among young men out there against Syracuse. You know, there was some issues there for some of the Duke players against that really vintage zone from Syracuse, but not for Zion. He was able to get to the basket early and often. That young man, I mean, after time off, you'd think there'd be a little rust. There was no rust from Zion Williamson.
13-for-13 from the field for Zion Williamson is an ACC record for most field goal attempts without a miss in a single game. North Carolina's Brad Daugherty in 1986 was the first overall pick in the NBA draft. He went 13-for-13 as well, so it ties Brad Daugherty. It was really incredible. And you know, Zion, in the thing that I think we kind of lost sight of over the last 5 games that he did not play was that he is a force to be reckoned with.
Sure.
And we don't know what he's going to be on the next level. But clearly, as you just said, he's a man amongst boys because he is way too good to be playing college basketball. But we don't quite know what he's going to be at the NBA level. You know what I'm saying? Like we know what he is as far as college basketball goes, but we don't know what he'll be in the NBA. And he's incredible as far as a college basketball player.
We will know when we're hosting the draft this year. We're going to know whatever team is going to get that lot, that really lucky ping pong ball, exactly where Zion's going to go. Look, I'll give you a quick comp. It won't be an accurate comp, sure, but I'll give you a comp, okay? Zion Williamson, and this is when you know you're a great player, when you can't come up with actually one player that he reminds you of. So I'll give you a couple, okay?
Go ahead.
I'll tell you that Zion Williamson is the best combination of Blake Griffin at his best and Charles Barkley. See, I think that we haven't seen the official numbers just as of yet. You can look on ESPN.com and say, is Zion Williamson 6'6"? Is he 6'5"? Once they come here to the combine here in Chicago, we'll find out the actual measurables for Zion Williamson. So I'm thinking he's the ultimate tweener, or at the most 6'6", 6'6", 6'6.5", maybe. So the reason why I bring that up is because Charles Barkley was at his, I guess, in stocking feet, I guess, in his socks, I guess.
Did he put clay on his feet?
No.
Do you hear these stories about NFL combine people putting clay on the bottom of their feet to then raise their height?
Yeah, no, I don't think Barkley would have Klay Thompson under his feet. Right, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, he doesn't like jump shooters or the three-point game, so maybe.
So, Charles Barkley and Blake Griffin.
Yes.
I use those two because Blake is a guy that can just jump out of the gym when he's on and not, you know, writhing in pain with injury. He really is a terrific player for his size. But Charles Barkley's a guy that when he played in his prime, great rebounder, play with ruthless aggression. So if I'm going to give you a comp, I'll give you two players in that regard.
Okay, so I would also add in Rodney Rogers. I would add Rodney in Rogers. Sean Kemp.
Sure.
So Blake Griffin, Charles Barkley, Sean Kemp, Rodney Rogers. There's a wide range there on success level in the NBA, right? Rodney Rogers, not very good in the NBA. He was okay. He was okay for a minute. Sean Kemp was good for a minute, and then the decline was steep. Right, the athleticism.
Okay, he's better than just good for a minute now. Come on now, let's not do that.
Okay, but there was a point in his career where it completely fell off for Sean Kemp.
That's toward the end. Don't do that.
Hold up. We don't need to go into the basketball reference page, but at a certain point,
I will.
I will too.
Okay, don't.
You want to do
my
all
hands
this?
Are here.
Sean Kemp, Black. Yeah, I'm with Hoodie here. Sean Kemp had 10 seasons where he averaged more than 15 points a game.
Okay, 15 points a game. Okay,
and ladies and gentlemen, hold on a second. Veteran newsman Dan Zetterman apparently with some information about Sean Kemp.
Seven of those 10 seasons, he averaged 15 and at least 10 boards. It was better than just a minute.
Before y'all jump down my throat, take a look. Any of the time with Cleveland below. He wasn't good.
Gave me a good Southern Illinois accent there for a second.
8 seasons with the Sonics. Yes, very good. Got to the finals. Yes, I agree. 8 seasons? So you're fine with Zion Williamson if he's that?
No, you say he's a mixture of those players. Yeah.
He's got to be better than that.
A mixture.
That's all I'm
he's
saying.
He's part of the mixture.
I'm not here to debate Sean Kemp today. That's what we're doing today.
I didn't do that.
Lost me, Chris.
All right. Newsman Danny Zetterman.
There he is. Newsman Dan Zetterman. Thank you very much again, giving us the information. Again, as news breaks, we will hear from Newsman Dan Zetterman here on the program.
But, okay, so he could be Charles Barkley. He could be Blake Griffin, because Blake is having a fantastic year right now, too. Sean Kemp. All right. Hopefully he's better than Sean Kemp. And you hope he's better than Rodney Rogers.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Across the scope of those four guys, you hope that he's probably between Blake and Charles Barkley, right?
Yes.
And if he's past Charles Barkley, then okay, then you're in the conversation of the next LeBron, the next phenom that actually turned out, the next super champion in the NBA that a team and a franchise can put all their hopes and dreams on.
Okay, so he's got all the intangibles, the athleticism, the quickness, the defense, the strength, the ability to jump off out of the gym, it's for his size. That's the thing also that maybe that's the Barkley part of it, but from his size, he could be able to do a lot. Again, a highlight dunker, a high-level competitor, blows out of his shoe, comes back 5 games later and does what he does.
How about the legend of Zion Williamson when you watch the whole story put together? And think about it this way. A lot of people have kind of looked at Zion and R.J. Barrett. Before this season, R.J. Barrett was the number one prospect coming into college. He was going to be the guy to be drafted number one. Zion shows up with all the Instagram followers and all the slam dunks, and we are wowed by him the moment he starts playing at Duke. As the season goes along, you know, I've been skeptical because I think you could place R.J. Barrett and specifically put him into the NBA game. You know exactly what you have. You know what type of scorer he'll be. You know he'll put up the points. He'll be able to get to the rim. He'll be able to shoot. You know that that works. You don't quite know whether or not Zion works at the next level.
Fair.
I'll tell you what. After last night, though, that is hands down the number one pick, because the fact that you miss five games and you come out and you play that well, that is stuff of legends. What we saw with the shoe exploding and getting hurt and what we saw last night and the fact that he wants to play, he wants to dominate at that level, he wants to be the best, that's the type of player that you say, all right, maybe he doesn't figure out the jump shot. You know he's probably going to outwork everyone else to try and figure out that jump shot.
At 6'5", 6'6".
Right, like, yeah. Like that. That's the piece that puts into all of this where you say that's why he's going to be the number one pick, is because he has that little extra where he wants to be the best, where maybe other guys may not be able to give that to you.
By the time we do the draft show, and by the way, when we say the draft show, Chris and I are going to host the – this is going to be our third or fourth year in a row we're going to be hosting the NBA draft show on ESPN 1000. So once we get to the draft show, I don't think my opinion will change on this. We'll get through all of the interviews and get a chance to talk to these players one-on-one and find out all the information that we need. But I will tell you that R.J. Barrett, as far as pure basketball and longevity on the floor – and production, R.J. Barrett's going to be a better pro than Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson will be there for all the highlights, yeah, and for the great dunks, and will be a part of, possibly part of a championship team. But R.J. Barrett, as far as everything that you like about him, the quickness, the leadership, the jump shot, the ball handling, all that, that's all going to be part of R.J. Barrett and him staying in the NBA and being really solid and productive for a long time to come. Now, maybe not as flashy as Zion, but it's going to be solid, I think, for a team.
Right, because all the comps are going to be D'Angelo Russell, James Harden, that type of player for R.J. Barrett. That's what people are going to suggest.
Michael Redd.
Yeah, but he was pretty good.
Yeah,
right.
But he wasn't hurt.
Kevin on Twitter and Marcelo on Twitter tweeted at Tweet J Hood and at Chris Black, and you could call us at 312-332-3776. Both Kevin and Marcelo are saying that Zion reminds them of vintage Larry Johnson.
That's fair too.
I think that's a pretty good comp.
We mentioned Larry Johnson earlier. Yeah, because I mentioned Larry earlier. I said, yep, you know, you talk about players that seem like they were way above their ability in college, seemed like they should be in the NBA when they were in college. I think Grandma Ma definitely is in that conversation.
Let's hear from Zion Williamson after the game on the court, after Duke beats Syracuse.
Thank you guys very much. Zion, how'd it feel to get back out there?
Felt great. You know, I love this game. I love my teammates. So the people who thought I wasn't going to return, they weren't smart. Like, I love playing with Duke. I love my teammates, and it was great to be back.
What would you want to say to those people who question you'd come back?
I mean, they are entitled to their own opinion. You know, I appreciate the input, but I can't leave my boys hanging.
How's the knee feel?
Incredible.
He also went on to say that he could have came back a couple of games ago.
Yes.
So clearly, what is interesting about what Zion, his approach is, Duke was super careful, right? In the smart fashion, right?
Sit your ass down. Went to the tournament.
All right, coach. All right, sounds good.
Don't worry about it.
So five games, the legend blowing off the sneaker, but really, he was probably okay after two games.
Sure he was.
Right?
You know why? Because he's a kid.
Well,
yes. If that happened to me, I'd still be in traction.
Okay, so here's another angle at this, right? If they win tonight against North Carolina, they are setting up for three games in 3 days, right?
Yes.
Okay. We have no concerns as a basketball society about this. Kids playing in these conference tournaments multiple days in a row. Meanwhile, in the NBA, we are forcing time apart from games to lengthen the schedule so rest could be a factor and sleep could be a factor. Meanwhile, these college athletes who are not getting paid anything have to show up and play day after day after day to even make the tournament. We have no concern, especially as Zion Williamson, who's just coming off a knee injury. No concern for this?
No, I don't. I don't have any concern about it because we can see the clear difference between college and the NBA in that regard. Yeah, you know, again, when you're an NBA player, you get those kind of, you get that treatment. You get those, you get those spoils. And so, and by the way, let's not overlook what Zion was talking about. Zion was taking a shot at Paul Pierce. Zion was taking a shot at probably Scottie Pippen. He was taking a shot at all of these pundits and all these hot takers that said that Zion Williamson should shut it down. Let me tell you something. The easiest thing that you could do in your life is quit. The big Q word, right? Just quit. Just shut it down. The whole point is that Zion Williamson still loves basketball. The thing that some people don't even know is that in the offseason, even though it's in the contract, in ink, and typed out, that players are not supposed to be playing basketball outside of their seasons in the NBA. You know that the Drew League and all these other places around the country, NBA players are still playing. So you know why they do it? Because they love it. So the ultimate point is that Zion Williamson loved being with Duke. And I think one of the things that he probably looked at is, I want to be able to win a national championship as a goal, and then once I get to the NBA, if I'm the number one draft pick, I'm the number one draft pick. But for all these hot takers that just want to shut it down, it's amazing. Some Bulls fans, the same thing. Zach LaVine has been playing pretty well, and so because he's been playing pretty well, get yourself in a position to draft. So just shut it down, LaVine, so you can tank even more so. This whole society that we have in 2019 about quitting is just, it's really insane to me. Zion Williamson wants to play basketball. And so he shouldn't shut it down just because you think he should shut it down. He can actually win a national championship and be the number one draft pick. How about that?
Well, and add to it that all these hot takers who are suggesting that he shuts it down, what were they worried about? They're not worried about his actual health. They're worried about his, quote, money that he could earn, right? That's what they all say. Oh, he's going to earn this, that, and the other when he becomes a pro. So he can't get hurt before then. I'm pretty sure what he did last night is going to enhance his brand.
Sure.
Right? Like, what he will do the rest of this weekend in the ACC tournament will enhance his brand. If he goes on to dominate North Carolina tonight and they win in the following game, the ACC tournament. If they go to the tournament, get to the Final Four, he's the best player at the Final Four. It will enhance his brand.
It's a Nike commercial.
Sean Farnham was on with you yesterday in the same space, and he said, look at Trae Young. Look at what he did to enhance his brand, and then he became a top five pick in the NBA. So I agree with you. You can't shut it down because players play. This is what they do. And Barkley and Scottie Pippen and all the hot takers who said that he should shut it down, they were playing when they weren't supposed to be playing. The NBA players play basketball. That's yes. what they do. Jay Billis, after the game, talked about what Zion did, and he did everything for Duke.
He's back to player of the year status. His first game back, I mean, you can tell a player is 100% when he shoots 100%. And he did it with making double-digit buckets. Really a phenomenal performance. 29 points, 14 rebounds, 5 steals. He did absolutely everything. And his impact on the defensive end was every bit as big, if not bigger, than his impact on the offensive end with his deflections, his steals, especially in the first half. He proved himself to be a tremendous presence that freed his teammates up to do their thing as well. So much attention goes to Williamson that R.J. Barrett is able to attack. And, you know, you didn't see the kind of game you've seen in the past from Cam Reddish, but just a really good performance. Duke turned the ball over too much. That's something they can clean up. But with Williamson back in there, that's a national championship caliber team.
That's Jay Billis last night on ESPN.
Yeah, Zion had to go through a lot of adversity of coming back from the injury and hoping that he wouldn't be tripped by Frank Howard from Syracuse. How about that? A little dirty play there, huh? How about a little Grayson Allen action from Frank Howard trying to trip Zion?
So if you missed it, it was early on in the game. He stuck the foot out as Zion went by. He got the foot, and Zion went to trip, but he caught himself. And then Frank, did you see what he did afterwards? He did the hand like, oh, my bad to run into
course,
you. Like,
yes.
You know, like the jerk move where you try to intentionally trip someone and then you act like it was an accident.
And by the way, if you have not watched Syracuse all year, and I've seen plenty of college basketball, I saw Syracuse, you did get a whole spoonful, a heaping helping of Buddy Boeheim. And I want to ask you a question.
Sharpshooter?
I mean, yeah, 36% from the field. So he's a sharpshooter, sure.
Yeah.
Are you surprised, Chris Bleck?
Yeah.
That... No. When you see Buddy Boeheim, Jim Boeheim's
I'll answer
son.
Right now.
No, wait, hold on a second. Let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you not surprised that Jim Boeheim's son, who plays for him, is named Buddy?
No.
Are you not surprised that his name is Buddy? You would think that a name like Buddy Boeheim that he should have like knee like knee braces and like the knee pads and the elbow pads and like goggles. He's Buddy Boeheim. Here he comes, everybody. Black and white film. The ball's up at the center, and it's tipped up and is controlled by Buddy Boeheim.
From way downtown. Here comes Buddy.
Here he comes. Boom, Buddy Boeheim. It's boom, boom, Buddy Boeheim. Hey, look at him. A long jumper. He shot it from 30 feet and still a two. Look out, everybody.
Knowing Boeheim, how do you think he responded to the Frank Howard questioning?
I don't know.
As far as what people were commentating at halftime, I talked to Frank. I looked at the video. There was no trip involved out there. Okay. I don't know who was talking about that, but it was
everyone. Everyone was talking about
and
it.
And both guys said, that's it. You know, there was nothing there. Trying to manufacture something out of nothing.
Oh, but here comes Buddy Boeheim down the court.
There he goes, everybody. He's Buddy Boeheim. Look at him run up and down the court.
Look at the bounce pass.
That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Plex singing it for David Kaplan today here on Cap and Company. Wilson Contreras slacked off last season. He really said that. Think about that, Cub fans. Jesse Rogers, our Cubs reporter, will join us next with the details.
Buddy Boeheim from three.
Armin and Yurko, we're wrapping the week, still talking Bears and NFL free agency. What a crazy week it's been. We'll give you the very latest as the Bears continue to try to make tweaks for 2019. Huge betting weekend with all the conference tournaments underway. Selection Sunday around the corner. Mike North gives us his thoughts on the best plays for the weekend. Also, we'll check in with the Cubs and the White Sox in Arizona. The Bulls are taking on the Red Hot Clippers tonight on the West Coast. And also the Blackhawks in Montreal for an original six matchup tomorrow. Join us at noon for Crosstalk on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Carmen and Yurko coming up at noon right here on ESPN 1000. I'm Chris Black with Jonathan Hood, singing for David Kaplan today on Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We now go to the desert and talk with Jesse Rogers, ESPN Cubs reporter. You can follow him on Twitter at ESPN Shy Cubs. Jesse, it's Chris and Jonathan. What's going on this morning?
Nothing much, guys. Cubs and Sox today. Cole Hamels on the mound. So we're in the final couple weeks here. Guys are starting to, you know, get into their normal routines. Weather's turning a little bit, so that's good for the hitters, obviously. But, you know, the biggest probably storyline right now is that bullpen. Some dings and dents there. Pedro Strop, you know, still down. We'll see if he's back next week. And if he is, then he'll be ready for opening day. But you got to monitor some other guys that are hurting a little bit. But that's about it. Everybody else is pretty healthy, mainly the starting staff. When you talk about a staff that's averaging 32 years old, you want to make sure they're healthy going to April, and so far they are. And Darvish and Lester just went these last couple. I mean, this is the you know, this is where you rev it up for the starters. You go 5-6 innings and you get that pitch count up, and then you start to kind of you know, one more big one, and then you tamp it down from there and get ready for the season.
Well, Jesse, it's interesting you mentioned the bullpen, because Theo Epstein disagrees. You and I were just talking about this yesterday, and I agree with you that the bullpen still needs a little seasoning here. You got to figure out who your closer is. Maybe there's another move to be made. I wonder why Epstein looks at the depth of the bullpen and thinks it's okay.
Yeah, I do like their start, their pitching staff in general, the depth on the staff in general down to AAA or even AA. I like it. I didn't necessarily like it for April 1st. I'm not sure these guys are ready for prime time. I thought they had I think they have good depth for the 6 month season. You know what I'm saying? You get a guy in June, you got to go down and get a guy, maybe even in May. But I didn't necessarily think that guys were ready April 1st. So if Tony Barnett, Xavier Cedeño, now these aren't the biggest names, Brad Brock, you know, if those guys aren't ready, the back end of the pen, then they're going to have to promote a Dakota Mekis, who's a decent prospect. But I didn't think they'd be ready for April 1st. It sounds like Theo does think so. If a guy or two is down, they're going to bring up, you know, start the season. I guess there's Randy Rosario as well. He had a cup of coffee last year. So I'm kind of with you, thinking that I didn't really think they had the depth right away if two or three guys are out. But Theo might see things differently. Obviously, they look at it a little differently than the rest of us internally. I still am not convinced they're not going to at least bring in a arm. Not Craig Kimbrell, but a arm. 2 weeks to go. There's free agents out there. Teams will start cutting players. Remember, that's going to happen as well over the final 2 weeks here. So I don't believe necessarily this is the final, you know, roster when it comes to the bullpen and pitching staff.
Jesse Rogers on with Chris Bleck and Jonathan Hood singing in for David Kaplan right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jesse, what did you make of the comments from Wilson Contreras? He was in an interview with Kelly Kroll on NBC Sports Chicago talking about how he completely fell out of his routine last year, and that's why he didn't deserve to have a good season. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I talked to Mike Borzell, the catching coach, about some of that stuff as well, and it was interesting what he thought. He thought he was taking his defense to his offense, which is usually the other way around. If you're struggling in offense, you take it to, out in the field. But he thought he was struggling on defense. Here's my take also. I think in this world we live in, you can't get past any criticism. He's heard over and over what a bad pitch framer he is. And he is really taking it hard. And that's a good thing and a bad thing. It's a bad thing if it's affecting the rest of his game. It's a good thing because he's doing everything he can to get better at it. He's done this. He's doing this quarter turn with his glove to set up some more rhythm. I mean, it's all about rhythm behind the plate. So you're not sort of just sitting there, and the ump can easily read you. If you want to feel the fool of the ump, you got to be in a little bit more of a rhythm. At least that's the way it was described to me. So that I thought was interesting. Like, I think the criticism and his poor play at the plate got to him. You know, it's interesting what Borzello said. He thinks pitch framing is the most analyzed thing for a catcher these days. Remember back in the day, it was about the arm, right? That's all we cared about was the arm. We didn't even care about blocking. If you could throw a guy out, you were great. Now no one talks about the arm. He's got a great arm. No one talks about it. Everyone talks about his pitch framing. And when I say everyone, you know what I mean. It's Fangraphs does more on pitch framing than I feel like they do on strong arms. You know what I mean? Because there's more nuance to be done. So that's what went on. He just got taken out of his game and his whole routine, partly because of the things I'm talking about. So it's a reset. You throw that away, and you hope this guy comes back stronger than ever.
Thanks, Jesse. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys, take care.
That's Jesse Rogers, ESPN Cubs reporter here, and Jesse's reports are brought to you by Continental Toyota. For over 50 years, Continental Toyota has provided great sales and service to Chicagoland. Experience the Continental Toyota difference. Visit ContinentalToyota.com. Jesse, once again, going against the analytical people.
Absolutely.
Fangraphs worries more about the pitch framing than the arms.
He's an old schooler like that, though. He looks at it through. He's got a new school sensibility, but he also has the old school lens when it comes to Major League Baseball. You know why? Because baseball is the I Love Lucy of sports. That's what it is. You know that episode when you see it, but it's not like you're going to spend a lot of time watching it. That's baseball.
That was on TV. It's not just on YouTube. That was on TV at a certain time. Yes. Right? Like, what?
Lucy, ground ball too short.
Then you have to wait, because it's baseball. Wait.
Yeah.
And then something else happens.
Right. Yes.
That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Bleck singing in for David Kaplan here on ESPN 1000. We'll talk to Nick Friedell in about 25 minutes right here on ESPN 1000.